It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Forget about it. Hey, how you doing, everyone? Gifa, Vinica, what's going on, everybody? Sunday night. Oh, feels like morning for yours truly. I actually slept for the last 2 hours. I kid you not. I got a hot cup of coffee here. I got some orange Zevia, not open as of yet. And I have all of you joining me tonight. This Sit Down with yours truly, brought to you by Blue Wire, brought to you by Bro Wrestling TV. Did I say Bro Wrestling TV? Oh, man, it's been a hectic 48 hours. We got that Vince resignation Friday afternoon. We had the Brock Lesnar fiasco that, you know, again, these places, as long as people keep investing time and clicking on their shit, they're going to keep doing that to everybody, you know. But I will tell you, it's been a good 48 hours for the family. It's always good for the family. You know, as long as we could smile, laugh, and have some fun, talk some wrestling, talk some real life once in a while, it's all that matters. I think some people take it way too serious. And yes, in the world where there's 5 million YouTube channels, 10,000 wrestling patrons, now, you know, soon it's going to be, you know, everybody's going to have an OnlyFans. You got super Twitters now, super followers, I think it is. Everybody's trying to get everybody's dollar out there. Hey, I had a big family member of the show, good follower of the show, send me an email a couple of days ago, and he's like, hey, DT, how come you don't post the people's names anymore with the super chats? You know, I like to see my name in lights. So I said, okay, not a big deal. So now your names will be back on the page. You know, I appreciate each and every one of you. And I think by now, after that many years, you should know what you see is what you get. But I got to tell you something hilarious. Seriously, this took the cake. By now, you all know what sausage means when I post something on social media and I write sausage before I write what I write. Check this out. This will make each and every one of you smile. The last 2 days, I've been getting a ton of DMs, ton of emails about the Brock stuff, about the Vince stuff. You know, we called everything we've called has happened. And, you know, on Friday, for the people that don't know, to mock all of these sites and shows that create sausage for all of you. And what does that mean, sausage? They know that some people in wrestling will never call them a liar. We'll never call them out on social media. When was the last time Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, John Laurinaitis, Kevin Dunn, and others, Triple H, Stephanie, when was the last time they went on social media and said, you're a liar? Liar! No, they just ignore it. They know they can't address every single person to do. So what they do is they create sausage. Here's a good one. Now, some people, you know, don't understand why I call it sausage. When you go to a store and you buy sausage, or you go to a diner and you have breakfast sausage, all you see is a link that looks like a small pig's penis, all right? And you look at it, and it tastes good, but you don't know, like, how is it made? All you see is the finished product, but how did it get to there? And then you find out it's got all these, you know, unless you're getting organic Applegate stuff, it's all this, you know, wild stuff in there. Pork fat, pork ears, pork dick, pork this, pork that, seasoning. And then they have casing. And I used to make sausage when I worked at my dad's store. You got this big machine, and I tell you, it's almost like being a disc jockey. You know, when you have a disc jockey, have any headphones around? Yes, I do. How many of you out there, it's not connected, how many of you out there, you ever see a disc jockey in a club? and you see them, and they're like this. They're like this. Like one hand is mixing the record and the other hand is using a slider. I used to do that a long time ago. I can't do it anymore. My hands shake almost like Michael J. Fox in the early stages. I start, all I got to do is put my hand on a record and you hear, so I can't do it anymore. But like it's an art form. When you make sausage, it's an art form because you take the sausage and you put it in this giant machine. And as you're cranking this giant lever, meat is coming out of the bottom. And you got to put this clear casing that is edible, because if you don't have this edible casing on the sausage, it breaks up into a million pieces. You ever wonder how sausage stays together? You know, when I first worked, we'll get to questions in 2 minutes. When I first worked for my dad's store when I was like 15 years old, I cut a piece of meat. I cut it chicken cutlets. And I got it wrong. And I cut it in the wrong spot, and the thing split in half. Now, me being a young guy, 15 years old, working in my dad's deli, I didn't know what the fuck to do. So I thought I ruined it. You ruined it, damn it! And the guy that worked in the store that was fucking with me at the time, he's like, don't worry about it. He says, go into the office and get the meat glue. I was like, oh, okay. So I asked this guy, I was like, you know, I need the meat glue. And he's like, okay. So he opens the door. I go upstairs and I'm thinking he's going to give me some type of like glue that's safe for meat. And we're going to glue the meat back together. We walk up to the office. He's like, listen, I got to tell you something. He says, who told you to get the meat glue? And I said, it was Frankie. He says, there ain't no such thing as meat glue. So I realized later on that meat glue is actually, you know, what comes out afterwards. But they were fucking with me. I actually thought there was meat glue. So you ever wonder why sausage sticks together? There's an actual casing that's edible. So as you're cranking it, you're going like this, and the sausage is coming out, and you're smoothing the casing, and I know what it looks like. It looks kind of bad, but that's how sausage is made. So all you see is the final product. You don't see the bullshit that gets to the final product. And here's a great example of one. I think it's Ringside News this weekend. One of the biggest guilty parties of them all. Our sources tell us that most people in WWE are happy that Vince McMahon stepped down. Now, how do you confirm that or call bullshit? You know? It's just like we could say, I was going to write it today. Sausage. Our sources tell us that most people are very happy, very unhappy that Vince is stepping down. Mr. Blood Crush, welcome to the family, my friend. So you see, that's how it's made. You get a story and you start reporting things that there's no verification and it's just bullshit. But all you see is the finished piece of sausage. You don't see the bullshit. People have meetings. Someone's contract is coming up. How can we kind of like spin it to make it seem like exclusive news? Here's another one. Do you think Brock Lesnar, in front of straggler people behind the scenes Friday, like looked at everybody and said, if he goes, I go. This is fucking Dolph Lundgren. If he goes, I go. What do you think, he shares the locker room with Jose the Schmuck, the janitor, jabroni number one, jabroni number two? You think Brock's going to go on social media? What the fuck are you talking about? I never said that. So we had fun on Friday, and I put sausage. Our sources tell us that Vince McMahon reached out to Brock Lesnar. Yes, it is true. Vince has Brock on speed dial. They do DM. That I know for 100% fact. And Vince did reach out to Brock. Because common sense, you think Vince, if Brock Lesnar just walked out on his daughter's company, his son-in-law's company, his company that's still 51% of the stock, you think Brock walked out and Vince just sat at home and said, no more NDAs needed. Ladies, come on over. X for an NDA. You think he just sat there and just let Brock leave? Come on. It's not hard to figure out. So I wrote, Vince reached out to Brock and said, listen, if you walk out on WWE, you walk out on me. And Brock will be back. And guess who ended up being right? Do you know wrestling news sites all reported that Vince McMahon reached out to Brock Lesnar not to walk out on SmackDown and Brock showed up? And guess who they cited as the news source? They actually credited me for breaking the story that Vince McMahon reached out to Brock Lesnar and convinced him not to walk out on WWE. Now you see how the sausage is made. It's been a wonderful 48 hours for the family, because not only did we get everything right, but now you see how this all goes down. And it's lovely because I do this for all of you. Seriously, I'm not kissing your ass. Not trying to get anybody to, you know, to feel. No, you stick with me and I will always give you the respect of not clickbaiting you, not teasing you, not throw, you know, teaser words and emotional words that are going to trigger you that you want to tune in and curse out. And it's no, we just tell it like it is. Pretty freaking hilarious, if I must say. So now we got all that out of the way. Let's get into your questions, your topics. Now, the last 2 weeks, we won 60 minutes. If there's enough topics tonight that you want me to discuss, maybe we'll go 90. We'll see how it goes. I'm a little tired. Yesterday was my fiance's wedding shower, and she banked. Yeah, she raked up. I'm like, honey, no. Pretend I'm YouTube. I get a percentage. So I'm not going to air any footage tonight because this show is about you tonight. This is not about me, but I thought you would get a kick out of this. One of the games that they played yesterday was Pin the Tail on the Don. Now, I'm waiting for pictures with a whole bunch of, like, pins all over me. Somebody apparently closed their eyes and literally just poked out my eyes. Pin the Tail on the Don. So, yeah, September 3rd is coming up quickly. Now, as I always say, Super chats are not required. They are appreciated. In fact, each and every one of you, whether you super chat, regular chat, subscribe, become a member, a Patreon, spread the word. Every time you do that, it helps me stay in business and it helps the channel grow even more. You know, I still get people like, oh, you've been stuck on 30,200 for a month. Yeah, that's okay. What about all the people that join Pro Wrestling TV? What about all the people on Blue Wire? What about, I don't care. As long as you enjoy what I do, that's all that matters. But, you know, super chats are not required. But obviously they take a little bit of, you know, VIP treatment, and we got to get into this. Big Sal, I know you predicted Jonathan Gresham losing to Claudio. What do you think about him quitting Ring of Honor, cursing out Tony Khan, and the shaming going around? Height shaming. His wife, Jordan Grace, is calling it discrimination. What do you think, DT? All right. I'm going to say this with all due respect. How many shows has Ring of Honor had since the first week in April? How many shows has Ring of Honor had since 2022? I don't know, two? Could it possibly be three? When is the next Ring of Honor show? XPW does pay-per-views on Fight. Ring of Honor did a pay-per-view last night on Fight. And by the way, I will say this. I have decided I am going to watch Death Before Dishonor. Because every single one of you told me, DT, even if Ring of Honor is not back 100%, because it's not, when is the next show? Why? Because it's featured on AEW TV? WWE could fucking start putting the Shimmer belts, not Shimmer, the Evolve belts on TV. What does that actually mean? Oh, they might do a house show and stream it on the network as a premium live event, a little bonus for everyone out there. And, you know, until I see Ring of Honor touring without cameras, without us having to pay $39.99, that's when Ring of Honor is back. If Ring of Honor is going to be a pay-per-view every 4 to 5 months at $40 a clip, that is not a promotion that is back. That is someone using the name, using the belts, and this is... Look, TNA, back in 2002, the biggest complaint about TNA in 2002 is, mean guy, I got to spend $9.99 every week, $9.95 a week to watch this shit? You know... When do I get freebies? When do I get free TV that builds to a pay-per-view? Oh, no, 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 no. You want to watch NWA TNA. You got to pay for it from day one. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You know? So Ring of Honor doing a pay-per-view every 4 to 5 months and nothing else. Nothing else. Sorry. That is not a promotion. That is back. If I'm Jonathan Gresham, what is going on with Ring of Honor? When is the next title defense? Oh, Tony Khan, bro, dude, we got this great idea, dude. You're going to be wrestling for Texas Hick Championship Wrestling that you booked. You're going to be wrestling for them on what, September 13th? Bro, dude, I got a perfect idea. How's about you defend the Ring of Honor Championship on that show? And you could get a little extra money out of it. Sorry, everybody. Having the Ring of Honor pure title or heavyweight title, or any other title defended on some indie bullshit show does not make Ring of Honor back. That is the same thing that TNA used to do with Bill Behrens. The difference, TNA was on every week. So I don't blame Jonathan Gresham for feeling like, what the fuck is the direction here? I mean, when do we do shows on a regular basis? When do the storylines develop? Do the storylines develop just 3 weeks before on Dark, Rampage, Elevation, and that's how it develops? Oh, random woman. Even though Mercedes Martinez and Serena Deeb, I heard they tore it up yesterday, and you knew they were going to kill it. But what's going to happen 4 or 5 months from now? Mercedes Martinez is going to come out, and then somebody randomly on Elevation or Dark or something's going to come out and attack her from behind, and oh, look, here, Ring of Honor match. You know, I need more than that. Sorry. I need more than that. But let me also say this, and I want to remind everyone this. If ROH was replaced with the letters ECW, and if this was 2002 or 2003, I probably would be as excited as a lot of hardcore Ring of Honor fans out there. I'm not denying it. If ECW, a year or two after it closed, if WWE would have just done a random house show once in a blue moon, I would have felt, hey, ECW is still alive. Ring of Honor is not back. It is still alive. But sorry, doing one show every 4 or 5 months and making people pay for it, to me, that is obviously keeping the name alive, but that is using the titles and using the lineage and the legacy, and you're eating up a lot of your TV time. If you're going to give Rampage to Ring of Honor, do it. Do it. Go for it. Ring of Honor, but they won't do that. Why? Because if the Briscoes are going to be signed to a lot, how do you not even show a video package, you know, like really profiling the Briscoes to make people who do not watch Ring of Honor, that never bothered to watch their work in Impact Wrestling for the last God knows how long. How do you not feature them on TV week after week after week on a pack? You don't even get them out there to attack FTR. So, yeah, I'm starting to believe that there is some credence about, you know, the Briscoes and the network. So, you know, if you're going to bring Ring of Honor back, but you see, you got to understand something. And this is probably the most important thing I could say about all this. And this ties into Jonathan Gresham. AEW doesn't do house shows. Why? Dave Meltzer told all of you at the beginning of the year that it's not cost effective. You think AEW would lose money on house shows? Please send me whatever drugs that they're on. The reason why they don't do house shows is because they don't have the employees to work the extra time to produce the house shows, the agents and everything else. Look at the controversies came out yesterday. There's a lot of people in Ring of Honor and AEW that feel like there's a lot of miscommunication. They can't reach out to anyone. Suddenly, people, and you see the people defending AEW today. Oh, well, you know, Tony Khan is not part of the, the relations team. How many fucking people do you think work for AEW? WWE has 900. How many fucking people do you think AEW work for AEW? And Tony Khan cannot be reached? That motherfucker is in a gorilla position. He's all over the place in the back. He's hugging everybody in the back every single week. And people can't access him? It's because they're not, a lot of these Ring of Honor guys are not at the buildings most of the time. So, you know, the bottom line is that Tony Khan is working with a part-time staff. And what I mean by that is that they don't have staff that are going to work the extra days to do house shows. That's why if anybody's going to do house shows, it's AEW. And you got all these people online that are portraying it, that Ring of Honor is going to be doing house shows, and they're going to be doing this, and they don't, where? They don't even do it with AEW. And you would think AEW, you know, is where the money is. When is Ring of Honor replacing AEW as the number one company? So if they're not going to do it for AEW, why are they going to do it for Ring of Honor? So if I'm Jonathan Gresham, wait, you know, like, what am I going to do with this title afterwards? Well, bro, Lee Moriarty, you're here to wrestle him in Jersey. For who? Oh, you booked Jersey Championship Wrestling. I know that's a legit promotion. Oh, just defend the Ring of Honor title on that promotion. Yeah, but Lee's supposed to go over. Oh, that's a little bit of a problem here. Yeah. So if I'm Jonathan Gresham, I'm like, what the fuck is going to go on after this? I don't blame him. Now, should he have cursed out Tony Khan? I don't know if he cursed out Tony Khan. I'm reading what people are saying. You think I'm going to believe half of these people? See, this is what you got to understand. If Jonathan Gresham used curse words, doesn't mean that he cursed out Ring of Honor. He doesn't mean he cursed out Tony Khan. Cursing out someone, now, I'm not going to use former podcast hosts of mine because I have no ill will against any of them, but we'll use somebody random in the chat room. Kevin Milwaukee. No, One Fall Podcast. Hey, One Fall, the fuck is your problem? Why the fuck do you always fucking criticize me and complain about me? The fuck is wrong with you? You know, do you want me to show up at your house and fucking podcast with my microphone up your ass? The fuck is wrong with you? What are you, stupid? Shut the fuck up. That's cursing someone out. If Jonathan Gresham said, Tony, what the fuck am I going to do with this title after this? You know, this is bullshit. This is that. You're not cursing Tony Khan out. He's using expletives. You know, did someone's curse alarm go up? Ah, I heard shit. I heard fuck. He's cursing him out. So you don't know what Jonathan Gresham said to Tony Khan. You don't know. But I will say this. My predictions last week, I predicted Claudio to be Jonathan Gresham. Because this is Tony Khan's Ring of Honor. This is Tony Khan's bucket list. This is what gives Tony Khan that special feeling. Honestly, I know this is going to sound wild and weird, but I think if it was up to Tony Khan, I think Tony Khan would shut down AEW and have everything be Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor meeting ECW with a little New Japan mixed in is his ultimate fantasy promotion. If he could close AEW tomorrow and everything be Ring of Honor with the same roster that you see on Dynamite and you see on Elevation and everything else, I think he would do it. I don't think he ever envisioned that he would be able to buy Ring of Honor. A year ago, there was no talk of Ring of Honor selling Tony Khan. So this was not his master plan all along. TV time, Dynamite, Ring of Honor, Ring of this, Ring of that. Why do you think all the tweets? Trent versus Samoa Joe. He writes, this has been a fantasy of mine for years. Sorry, everyone. A fantasy of mine for years is banging some XXX porn star that I can never, ever get, even if I picked her up in a club and lied to her through her teeth and got her pissed drunk. You know, fantasy for a couple of years is doing a podcast with, you know, The Rock or somebody else. That's a fantasy of mine. Trent versus Samoa Joe, with all due respect, I don't even know if I watched it if that was on Heat. But for him, it was so big that he had to tell the world, this has been a fantasy match of mine. This has been a dream match of mine. Samoa Joe versus Suzuki. It's been a dream match of his for years. Good for you. And he owns the promotion. Good for you. It's not for me. So there's no direction. People online make you want to think that AEW is almost going to overtake WWE. These are people that are trying to tell you that Ring of Honor is back and it's bigger than ever. Let's see what happens next three, four months. Let's see what happens. Oh, on Dynamite, Bryan Danielson's going to face Daniel Garcia. Yeah, they would have faced each other even if Ring of Honor was not in Tony Khan's back pocket. Well, why? Because they put Ring of Honor, the letters, that means it's back? Come on. Now, as far as Jonathan Gresham, this is Tony Khan's Ring of Honor. Think of Vince McMahon in WCW. Oh, that's awesome. Chaos worked for Ring of Honor back in April 05. That's awesome, man. Very cool. Very cool. And speaking of working for Ring of Honor, somebody super chatted about Prince Nana. We'll get to him in a minute. Look, we'll move on from Jonathan Gresham because I know he is not the top conversation for everybody here. But I'll finish up with this. Think of Vince McMahon 2001, WCW. Remember the night, March 26, 2001, that Vince McMahon said, oh, the Lex Express is going to be derailed. Double J, you're not going to see him on our show. Yeah, took a long time. But point is, when Vince McMahon bought WCW, there were some people he had no interest in keeping aboard. Does that make those wrestlers not good? No, not at all. It's just promoters, companies, owners, they have their favorites. Look at the hug that Tony Khan gave to Claudio. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're going to be Ring of Honor champion. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, no, I'm going to make a pillow after you. I'm going to hug you in my bed every night. Jonathan Gresham has nothing to do with him being black, has nothing to do with him being tall, short, fat, skinny, has nothing to do with Jonathan Gresham. It's just Jonathan Gresham does not give Tony Khan that special feeling inside. Just like some wrestlers that go to WWE, and unfortunately, Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon, they didn't get that special feeling inside once Karrion Kross went to the main roster. They might have had that special feeling inside for Scarlett and for others, but for some others, they didn't get that special feeling. When you see any wrestler in WWE and they never get a push, and you say, why is this person not utilized better? Xia Li and others. It's because some people just don't give. They know they're talented, but this is not their vision. This is Tony Khan's vision. Ring of Honor is not about what the Ring of Honor fans like. It's what Tony Khan likes and what he likes you should like. How many times have I said that over the last 2 years? So Jonathan Gresham is not a Tony Khan guy. Even if Jonathan Gresham said, look, here's my leg, hug me. Hug me all night. Hug me, hug me, hug me, hug me. Even if he gave him a little wind-up doll. Hug me, hug me. It's a little Jonathan Gresham doll. You know, he could take to bed every night. John Gresham is not a Tony Khan guy. That's why Claudio is champion. Jonathan Gresham is not. It's not about black. It's not about height. It's not about anything other than you got to, and this is advice. This is advice for anybody who is going to work for Tony Khan, especially with Ring of Honor. Better find out quick if you fit the mold of what Tony Khan grew up as a hardcore Ring of Honor message board, you know, dirt sheet kid who now has the power. He's got the power. Snap. That's what you better learn. Because if you don't learn, then you're going to end up like Jonathan Gresham or Jordynne Grace. She loves her husband. She feels her husband is being discriminated, and I don't blame her.
But Jordan Grace, I truly believe it has nothing to do with anything more than Jonathan Gresham is not a Tony Khan guy, period. He could look 6'5". He look at Big Kaz. Look at Eric Redbeard. Look at Homicide. Look at Johnny Impact, Nitro, whatever, Neutro. Some guys still bring in for a little bit, but they're not Tony Khan guys. You could tell by now, Bryan Danielson, Tony Khan guy. CM Punk, Tony Khan guy. Bryan Danielson, Tony Khan guy. You get some up-and-comers, they will be Tony Khan guys. But you look at wrestlers who could still go today, you could figure out who are Tony Khan guys and who are not. Malakai Black, Tony Khan guy. Miro, I'm not that sure. I'm not that sure. You know, for 5 weeks, the Redeemer, the Redeemer. The only thing I redeemed is the microphone. I redeem. I stare. I don't wrestle all that much. You can figure out what's smoke and mirrors and what's not. Did Ring of Honor have this huge hardcore women's division over the years? No. You had a little bit here and there, but you didn't. Does the women's division feel like something high on Tony Khan's list when you really think about it? When you realize that the biggest infatuation for Tony Khan right now with the women's division is a tag team named Thunderstorm. Oh, my God, Thunderstorm. We could put it on shirts. We could put it on any. We could make umbrellas. Thunderstorm. You don't have women's tag team divisions, nitwit. That's the biggest buzz. Do you feel like Athena is going anywhere now? Ruby Soho? Oh, but she's Blackpool Club. What the fuck does that mean? She women's champion? No. You know, seriously. Oh, she could be Ring of Honor champion. Yeah, promotion that has had one show since April. What does it mean? So my advice to these people is try to figure out who is a Tony Khan guy and who isn't, or Tony Khan girl and who isn't. Because once you figure that out, you will know who will go further and who aren't. Are the Briscoes actually Tony Khan guys? Maybe to a certain extent. But does it feel like Tony Khan is fighting for the Briscoes by bringing on T? Tony Khan got away with an interesting comment last week when they did the media scrum or the Q&A of the press about Ring of Honor. And he said that the Briscoes are signed to a long-term Ring of Honor deal. All your Ring of Honor titles are shown on AEW TV. You've had Ring of Honor matches and Ring of Honor title defenses on Battle of the Belts, Dynamite, and Rampage. How come the Briscoes are the only team that doesn't appear live on AEW programming? None of those press are going to ask him that question because they want to rub elbows. They all look like chickens. Rub my elbow. Tony, hug my elbow. It's clean. It's clean, I promise you. Since when did the Briscoes, oh, they signed exclusive Ring of Honor deals. Motherfucker, you own both. Ring of Honor shit is all over your TV. Why aren't the Briscoes? Are they really Ring of Honor guys? Tony Khan guys? FTR certainly feels like it, right? But FTR, oh my God, they have three sets of belts. None of them are AEW. Come on. It's not that hard to figure out. All right. Before we go back to Ring of Honor, I would like to spend the next 15 minutes with all of you in the chat. And if you get to post a question, just write in capital letters the word question. And oh, and by the way, I had a few requests for people that may be new to the channel that don't want to wait 20 minutes to post a comment because you have to be a subscriber, this and that. I will lower that down starting tomorrow to like 5 or 10 minutes. This way, people that may be new to the channel that hear a topic going on and really want to react to it and don't want to wait 20 minutes to post a comment, because 20 minutes from now, we're probably not talking about Jonathan Gresham. So starting tomorrow, that will be dropped down to 5 minutes. We did that more to, you know, eliminate spam, but at the same time also, you know, people I truly want to be part of our family here, they're the ones that I talk to. So, but there's always new, and I'm always open to improving. So, Kevin Milwaukee is asking me, do I remember who's the very first Patreon and very first family member? Yeah, it was me. and it was Mish was number two. We actually subscribe to our own patrons. Not to inflate numbers, because I don't make my numbers public, but we always put money into it. Trez is a patron member, and she does a show on there. I mean, that's the truth. That's the God honest truth. Everybody has a Patreon, subscribes to their own channel. It's just, you know, contributing, you know, to be part. It's not about boosting numbers or anything like that. But as far as not non-Patreons, I think Cressman. Did Cress, and I know a lot of you still, Cress is still a Patreon member. We've been around for, what, 5 years now? It's amazing that many years have gone by. When we first started Patreon, there was only 3 wrestling Patreon channels. Now there's about 30,000. No joke. But I think it was Cressman was legit number one. Non-us. Soulfly, yes. You want to know something? On the next Patreon show, I will go back and I will read everyone the first 20 Patreon members that are still with us from day one. So I will do that on Tuesday. All right. Look, as far as Jonathan Gresham's size, I've talked about it. I don't particularly like the stormtrooper-like mask. Reminds me of Shockmaster. Jonathan Gresham, when he's standing next to Tully Blanchard, who is taller, and everybody's standing around who is taller, and he's wearing that outfit, I think it kind of makes him look inferior. And I say that because of aesthetics. Look, if I walk into a room and all the walls are painted brown, and then I see like a piece of furniture and it's yellow, you know, I'm not discriminating because of its yellow. It just seems like it doesn't match everything else. I've always said Jonathan Gresham reminds me of Taz from the late 90s. And Jonathan Gresham is an incredible performer. Motherfucker has earned everything that he's got. But no, when he doesn't get opportunity, I'm not going to cite that he's black or he's short or he's this or he's that. You know, I'm not going to cite that, you know. And, you know, it was funny because when Jordynne Grace, and I'm a fan of her, so I'm on her side with this, but I will say this. When Jordynne Grace says, you know, look, I just want to keep everyone in check. If you're going to fat shame Eddie Kingston, if you're going to skinny shame Adam Cole, if you're going to do this, then if you're going to, actually, let me say it like this. I should change that. If you're going to fight against the fat shaming of Eddie Kingston, if you're going to fight against the skinny shaming of Adam Cole, if you're going to fight against that, then you got to fight against the shaming of Jonathan Gresham. How's this? Hey, Jordan, we don't shame anybody here. We don't ever make fun of Adam Cole's size. We defend it. We never rip Eddie Kingston size. There's an old saying that my father taught me when I was 5 years old that a lot of you are bored for me to say, but it's true. My father said when I was a kid, you know, don't justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. You don't do that. And she's looking at the opposite. How's about instead of, if you're going to defend all this shaming, then you should also defend my husband shaming. How's this? You don't bring it up at all. I don't criticize the people who shame. We just don't shame. Period. Don't acknowledge the jerk-offs out there. There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be someone that is going to find something. And when they see it gets traction, that's it. You open the floodgates. When people turn around and see that something stupid gets a gigantic response, other people will be like, Oh, let me write something stupid. Eddie Guerrero is a B-plus player. Ooh, look at the response. Ooh, Brian Danielson's always a B-plus player. Owen Hart was a B-plus player. Hey, how come I didn't get 5,700 likes? Don't acknowledge it. Don't normalize it. And she's doing the opposite, in my opinion. Rams fan Brian Cage gets traded to another faction, True or Sausage? Tully Blanchard, trying to get the story for all of you. I know they brought up his ministry stuff and everything, maybe at prior to commitments, this and that, but the bottom line is that, you know, understand something. Tully Blanchard doesn't work for free. Tully Blanchard you know, whether he works for AEW, whether he loves to hug Tony Khan, whether he believes in the movement. Everybody works. Everybody gets paid. People don't do shit for free. And the thing is that if Tully Blanchard is going to be exclusive for Ring of Honor, and you don't even fucking know when the next Ring of Honor thing's going to be, Tully Blanchard doesn't come extremely cheap. So what are you going to do? Pay him for the next 5 or 6 months for what? To do what? Oh, we're going to do an episode of Rampage, and your guys are going to be on it. You know, so there's more to this story than meets the eye. But the thing is, again, you look at this whole situation. Brian Cage, does it really feel like AEW sees Brian Cage as the equivalent of Wardlow? Does it feel like Brian Cage, his size, his intimidation, his strength, does it feel like it's being, you know, publicized, promoted? You know, Brian Cage is not injured. Why is this guy not on TV? He's not a Tony Khan guy. He's not a Tony Khan guy. Tony Khan, again, understand this is not an insult against him. It's just a fact. Remember that picture of the little kid that has 15 apples in front of him, and every apple has one bite in it. Tony Khan is that little kid in the room that has 100 video game consoles, plays it for a couple of days, and then puts it on the shelf. Bites an apple, throws it on the floor, gets another apple, throws it on the floor. It's not that he's afraid that mommy may eat the rest of the apple, Vince, WWE, whatever you want to call it. It's just no. He's not keeping Brian Cage so he doesn't go to WWE. If anything, he'd be like, yeah, let's see what he does. They do with him. No, it's just Tony Khan's got to have all the apples. It's like a dog. It's like a dog. This is the best scenario. It's like a dog. You could buy a dog 50 squeaky toys, and that dog will play with one squeaky toy and then after a few minutes toss it aside and then play with another squeaky toy and then toss it aside. And that other squeaky toy, that motherfucker, that dog, that motherfucker didn't touch that squeaky toy for 3 weeks. And the minute you go in the room to pick up that squeaky toy, don't touch my fucking squeaky toy, master, with all due respect. That's Tony Khan. Tony Khan is the kid that's got to have 50 toys and no one else could have it. That's what it is. It's just a fact. When you have that kind of money, you can do that. He is the kid that has 100 game consoles. Can't just have two or three. He's got to have 10 apples. God forbid you try to take one of them from him. So that's the deal with Brian Cage. Does Brian Cage feel like someone that is coddled and promoted and represented? You're watching AEW through the eyes of Tony Khan. Not what the fans want. You're seeing it through the eyes of Tony Khan. And Tony Khan, when people say, oh, he works way too much, Tony Khan's doing too many things. That's because Tony Khan is spending his own money. He doesn't want to spend that money on an extra 40 employees to do other shows, because for Tony Khan, Rampage, Dynamite, Dark, Elevation is enough to satisfy him. That's it. It's enough to satisfy him. He doesn't want to speak. If he has $100,000 and like, hey, Tony, you really could use another 10 people working in the offices and that. No. I'd rather spend it on Johnny Gargano. That's what Tony Khan is. Tony Khan, this is Tony Khan's money. This is not a publicly traded company. These are not us investing. These are not stockholders. This is Tony Khan's money. So Tony Khan works on the cheap with employees, has people doing double duty. And then when it comes time, hey, boss, you know, we need to, you know, do some house shows. We can make some serious money from there. He doesn't want to spend that money on extra employees. He'd rather just do what he's doing now and, you know, bank on that, and when he has the money, he wants to buy it on a toy. Tony, you need a chest to put all your toys in. No. Why am I going to spend $200 for a toy chest? What, if I'm going to spend $200, I'm going to spend it on toys. Thank you, everybody. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. Scott Shut Hats. I don't know what that means, but... but I thank you for the kind words. Better GM, Twix is asking. Tony Khan or Dixie Carter? Right now, I have to say Tony Khan. Absolutely. Tony Khan just subscribed. Tony Khan did not just subscribe, but whoever did, props to you for the name. Look, I am a fan of Tony Khan. No, I'm not kissing his ass because he might have just subscribed. No, I like the guy, but there's a lot of things that are wrong with him. And, you know, I don't know if he takes that and really, like, you know, doesn't get some people you can't give any criticism to. They will block you, banish you for life, you know, but I think deep down inside, I think that guy needs to just grow up a little bit and mature. This is all new to him. This is his brand new car. Brand new car. You know, he might have gotten used cars. It's like a teenager gets daddy's used car, gets this used car, this is, and then finally daddy says, go buy yourself a $100,000 Range Rover. So for the last 3 years, all he's been doing to that Range Rover is he's been fixing this, upgrading the stereo system. Boom, 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 boom. Brand new rims. Nice leather seats. Hey, Tony, I think you need to get a little tune-up for the car. Fuck that. If I'm going to spend $500, I'm going to buy a fucking steering wheel cover. I'm not going to buy. That's what's going on right now. Sooner or later, he's going to have to fix the mechanics a little bit. What do I think? Who do I think will own WWE in the next 5 years? No idea. I will continue saying what I've been saying for a very, 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 very long time. WWE has a price. WWE has a price. We don't know what that price is. But if WWE is worth, let's say, $5 billion, let's say it's worth $3 billion. If somebody offers $3 billion, WWE thinks that they're going to get bigger. WWE, and it's not just one person that makes a decision, WWE may say, no, you know, thank you, but we're not interested. But if somebody walks in and pays WWE five times of what they're worth, think Tony Khan when he first signed a bunch of indie guys for AEW's beginning. You know, if you overpay enough, WWE's selling that shit. If it's worth $3 billion and somebody walks in and says, I give you $6 billion. You know, I give you $6 billion. You want nothing more? I give you $7 billion. Take it or leave it. Excuse me. Hey, I give you $6 billion. You take it or leave it. I ain't giving you seven. I break your fucking arms. See, I have to add the extra nationality because somebody will say, why does the person have to be Indian? Why does the person have to be Japanese? We're just using an example because people will do that. So WWE, if they sell, I guarantee you whoever buys WWE will have to overpay a little bit. You're getting the biggest company, period, in wrestling, plus that history, the lineage, the library, the trademarks, everything else. Yeah, you bet your sweet ass somebody's going to overpay. When someone is willing to overpay big for WWE, that's when they'll sell. You can't put a time prediction on it. Can't put a prediction on it. Could be tomorrow. Could be 10 years from now. You don't know. That's what happens with a publicly traded company. You think investors, you think that they want it to just be a McMahon company for the next 50 years? If their investors find out that another company comes in and overpays, if they think that that company is going to fuck WWE up big time, they will sell the stock in a heartbeat. If they think the company coming in is going to make WWE twice as big as what it is now, they will buy extra shares of stock. That's how it works. Michael Gonzalez, what is my favorite Vince McMahon feud? Not in counting Stone Cold. Whoa. Not counting Stone Cold. Boy, that is a good one. Maybe some of you want to post some of your examples in the chat. The Ric Flair storyline. I will never forget to the day I die. I'm not kidding, everyone. I used to have an earring. I used to have an earring like Barry Bonds. The little chain, the cross sticking down. Remember Barry Bonds in the 90s? I used to have that. I used to have the diamond as well. But I could tell you, my earlobes were red as fuck back in 2002. When we learned that the consortium was Ric Flair, and he now owns part of, and Vince was in the ring like, with that crazy look. That is my favorite Vince McMahon moment of all time. When he's grabbing his ear, I can't tell you how many times I wake up in the morning at that time, go to shave, and I'll just look in the mirror and I'll go, if you don't know what I'm talking about, everyone, just go on Google, do an image search, just type in Vince McMahon ear. That's my favorite, seriously. When Ric Flair said, we're partners, and Vince is like, my ears right now. Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Vince. All right, a couple of more questions, and then we move back to Super Chats. Shout out to CJ Rocks, who just sent one. I will definitely get into it. Actually, no, I'll get into it now since you brought up Vince McMahon. Danhausen, is now the time for Vince to go in the Hall of Fame? That was part of my sausage from Friday. Go to my Twitter, @DonTonyD. My sources tell me is that a lot of people behind the scenes in WWE are lobbying for a Vince McMahon appreciation night and feel that he should finally accept the Hall of Fame induction in 2023 and or 2024. I'm going to go a little bit further this week. I'm going to say wrestlers like The Undertaker, Steve Austin, and others all would love to see Vince McMahon inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame. That is sausage. And you know some of those websites are going to cite us for the credit for it. Sausage. So, no, I do believe Vince McMahon will go in the Hall of Fame. I do believe it. I believe Vince McMahon will go in the Hall of Fame. Even if it's for one night, to have the entire building go, thank you, Vince, and trigger all of the haters online. And look, I want to make this clear that I didn't say the last 2 days, but I think it's common sense. I respect anybody that does not like Vince McMahon. I respect anybody out there that does not like WWE. But when you have this obsession that an outcome has to go a certain way, it's either that way or the highway. That's where I have a problem. If you despise Vince McMahon, okay, fine. But if Vince McMahon retires and that's not good enough for you, he at 80 years old, he's got to be nailed to the cross. He's got to be arrested. He's got to, people are now using the term sex crimes. That's where I have a problem with it. You know, that's not enough. That's agenda based, especially news and podcasts. That shit gets dangerous. But those are the people that I'm talking about when they say that. But yeah, I think Hall of Fame is good for Vince. Sure. Audio warning. I just wanted to mention it because, you know, I don't know how that hears in somebody's ear. Charlie's asking me an insane question. Is the Tammy Seinfeld picture a bit much or harsh? I have no idea what you're talking about. Some of his questions are like, you buy those like clue books and they say, find the thing that doesn't belong in the tree. Sometimes it's pretty obvious. You look in the tree and there's a car. But sometimes you look at the tree and it like looks like everything belongs and you're just like staring at it. You almost need that special Tony Khan potion to like, dude, it's this. I have no idea what the Seinfeld thing is. John Vickers, will I please buy WWE? Oh, hell no. Even if I had Tony Khan money, I wouldn't buy WWE. I wouldn't. I think there is a ceiling with WWE. I mean, you always create the stars of tomorrow. And that's the thing that people need to really realize. Say what you want about WWE and Vince being out of touch and everything like that. And I agree. Vince has not given opportunity to some people who really should have gotten extra opportunity. But when you look at John Cena, Roman Reigns, and Hulk Hogan, and Steve Austin, and The Rock, and you just go down the line, and Mankind, and you know, I'm leaving out 100 other people. For every person that people bitch about on social media, for every 10, there is one that turns into a megastar that makes mega fucking money. You know, even Bray Wyatt for a little while. I always bring this up. I got so much Bray Wyatt shit in this house, in this room. If I got up right now, I could definitely pull at least 5 Bray Wyatt items on my Fiend items from the floor. So he merchandising and marketing people and turning them into moneymakers, nobody does it better. And that's going to be the biggest issue with WWE going forward. Let me make this clear. A lot of people that you pay attention to online, to them it's a perfect world if Claudio got the WWE championship, if Bryan Danielson was elevated further, if, you know, Brock Lesnar wasn't pushed for the heavyweight title, that Roman Reigns, maybe his time is done and he's a major heel, but now he could go for the IC title, that maybe Sami Zayn should go for the heavyweight title. If you follow these people, yeah, Raw and SmackDown might get a little bit higher than NXT numbers because everything that they have suggested in AEW gets the most, a million people. So it's really like, what's your intention? To please yourself or to please the stockholders or to get the most money? I've always said it. It's very hard to argue WWE right now when on SmackDown or Raw, you get Bianca Belair versus Carmella three straight weeks. You think I want to see that? No, I don't want to see that. But when you see that they can have only 20 wrestlers on SmackDown, 20, the same 20 for three straight weeks, and it draws 2 million, and it sells 8 to 10,000 seats, and a lot of people are buying the merchandise, and it draws 2 million people as well. How do you fight that? We're getting the same goddamn shit for 3 weeks in a row. The only way you fight that is if the ratings tank, is if only 3,000 people show up, is if that's the only way you fight it. So you could piss, it's pissing in the wind, screaming at the top of your lungs, complaining about this is all for the same shit every week. How do you fight that when you see the results you get? As long as those results keep going, that's why you pull Brock Lesnar out of the bag. Soon Cody, you know, before you know, we're going to be at the end of the year. Cody will be back. And then you got Seth, and then you got Drew. They sold 60 or 70,000 tickets in the UK. And then they're going back to Germany, Scotland, and Mexico later this year. And if Drew ends up getting one of those titles and they sell 70,000 tickets, I mean, how do you complain? It's not about complaining. It's about fighting it. How do you fight it? How do you fight it? Thank you, Chris, for the kind words. Thank you. Matthew is asking, do I think some of the women who accuse Vince, even if they sign NDAs, will come? Even if there's a risk, then they might get sued or taken to court. Nah, Matthew. Nah. Listen, I don't condone any type of deviancy. You know, I have said this too, and I know this pisses off a lot of people in 2022, but it is what it is. I grew up in the 90s, and I guarantee if I walked into a bar today and I had a nice set of tits and a nice ass, and then my name was Antoinette, not Anthony, and I was 23 years old, I guarantee you I would have guys walking up to me, hey, how you doing? Hey, I own this modeling agency. You want to go back to my apartment? We'll talk about it over drinks. Hey, how you doing? You take out a stack. You think this person's got loads of hundreds, but it's $100 bill above 50 singles. People lie. People sweet talk to get laid all the time. You know, look at Joey Ryan. I don't know if Joey Ryan committed any crimes, but Joey Ryan took a lot of women who emotionally were vulnerable. And he, with his charm and his looks and the way he talks, and yeah, I hear he's a great kisser and he's a great lover and this and that. And then afterwards, they feel like they were used. That's not a fucking crime. That's a pig. A lot of these women, they dealt with billionaire pigs. So if Vince did what he did in 2005, I don't give a shit. This is just me looking at the outside in. I don't give a shit about my wrestling career. I go to the cops. I go to a lawyer. If I keep quiet for 13 years, and then when he is about to score billion-dollar deals and I say, hey, pay me, bitch. Well, you know, I don't have the sympathy at all. You know, a lot of these people, and let's understand something too. You know, yes, we think of Hollywood, think of casting couch, we think of Harvey Weinstein and others. You know, but Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby and others, where they met their demise is where they forcibly did things. If Vince told a female in 2004 or 2005, whatever it is, blow me or you blow your career. Yeah, that is really fucked up. And yeah, that is the level of criminal. That is a level of criminal. But if he, if you know, you hear like, hey, if I go with the boss, you know, I might get a little bit extra opportunity, you know, yeah, that's fucked up. But that is your choice to put yourself in that position thinking you're going to go further. Think about the NDA and the accusation. I give sexual favors and I get pushed. When I stopped the sexual favors, the push went away and I was released. The fact that you were willing to give sexual favors thinking you were going to get bigger opportunity is a flawed thinking. And yes, you are manipulated and I feel bad for that person. No one should be put in that position. But, you know, it's like, hey, you know, look at Anna Nicole Smith. Just using a random example. She married someone in the 90s. In, you know, in their 90s. Not talking about you, I'm talking about the age. Does anybody really think, you know, that she didn't marry him for money? You know, how many people you see that are executives and you look at the people they're married to and you're like, she definitely married him for the money. Yeah, it happens. It happens. People do that. We're not in the billionaire world. We're not in that world, everybody. So we can't understand how people think. But when, let me put it this way. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this honest question. If that woman, wrestler, diva, whatever you want to call it, if she would not have been de-pushed in 2005 and still got good career out of it and ended up leaving in 06, 07, 08, whatever it is, do you think there would have been an NDA? Do you think there would have been accusations? How many women did give the favors, did go further, had a great career, and then that was it. They moved on. There's a lot of people who do that. There's a lot of people in the modeling world that will go and fool around with agents, with, you know, talent scouts or whatever it is, because they think it's gonna, they're going to go further. It's when you force someone, you know, that's where they go wrong. So, you know, when you wait 13 years and you never go to the cops or anything like that, you know, it's very hard to have a hell of a lot of sympathy for that person. All right, let's go back and let's get some super chats done. Rojo Bear, 24 with the 5 spot. With Vince gone, do I see guys like Killer Cross, Bray Wyatt, and Johnny Gargano returning to WWE? No. Bray Wyatt, yes. We've always said Bray Wyatt will return to WWE. Killer Cross was always, well, you know, willing to go back to WWE under the right circumstances. Just because Vince is retiring doesn't mean the whole mantra of WWE changes. Yes, you will see some creative input that would not pass Vince's desk in the past. Vince still owns 51% of the stock. Vince McMahon still has a lot of pull. People that are acting like the Vince McMahon era is over are either naive or they're intentionally doing this to push an agenda, a celebration, whatever it is. The culture of WWE does not change. Titus O'Neil coming out last Monday saying what he said was a message to everybody who invests in WWE, no matter who they are, to let them know nothing changes, period. The content, the way we treat people, the goody-goody storylines, we don't go in the mud, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't do this. None of that is changing. And that climate does not change because Vince McMahon steps down. If any of these people return, they're going to return and we'll see how they're used. I told you, soon you're going to hear people write, same old shit. Be prepared. Same old shit. Same old shit. Same old shit. Even if Bruce, look, people want Bruce Pritchard out. They want Kevin Dunn out. Not because they're WWE supporters and they just want to see it get better. It's because they hate WWE and they want to see people that they dislike out of a job. There's a big difference there. There's a big difference there. Who do you replace them with? Who do you replace them with? You ever see these people give you an answer who to replace them with? You know what they'll say every time? Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman. Oh, head of creative? Paul Heyman. Yeah, that's a great idea. Head of this part? Paul Heyman. Head of marketing? Paul Heyman. Head of catering? Paul Heyman. That's all they'll do. They think Paul Heyman is their way out of every argument. Okay, who do you put? Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman. So when they return, I don't know. Yeah, and speaking of Kevin Dunn, Cappy Caveman with the two spot. How long before Bucky Beaver, Kevin Dunn gets fired? You would have think with all the money in his stock that he's made, he would have fixed his teeth. Maybe he did. I mean, even Mick Foley fixed his teeth at some point. Kevin Dunn, you know, I'm going to say this without any emotion. WWE is not going to pull the Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff nitro. You're not going to see where everybody relinquishes the belts. You start over with everything. The reason why the stock did not change much, and we brought this up yesterday. The reason why it has not changed much in after-hours trading is because investors feel comfortable that the WWE machine is going to continue with no shaking up, major shakeups. You will have a bunch of executives move on, but they're not going to do that until other things are in place. Nick Khan and Stephanie as co-CEOs. I saw people the last 24 hours. What a sexist thing to do, WWE. What, a woman can't handle this or herself? Do you realize what is involved to be CEO? Do you remember when the Vince, I want you all to remember this, because this is something that you throw in those people's faces, they'll have no response whatsoever. Do you remember when the allegations first came out and Stephanie was named interim CEO? What did everybody say? What did all of those haters say? Oh, she doesn't have any power. Vince is still calling on the shop. She's just there, you know, just to, you know, to give this aura. But she's not in a position to be. So now, all of a sudden, she's now officially co. And they're like, oh, why can't she do it? You just fucking said a month ago that she was just there as a figurative, that Vince was still calling on because Stephanie can't just go in there. Stephanie just took time off to be with her family. Now she's going to be the head of a $1 billion company? She's not ready to be in that position. Nick Khan is much more, and it's not because he's a man and she's a woman. They're going to do what the investors feel is the right way to go. So Stephanie and Nick Khan named co. It's not to appease social media or to trigger social media. It's to show the stockholders business as usual. You will see shakeups. You will definitely see shakeups. Anytime new ownership comes in anywhere, they will put in people that they like. You might see Shawn Michaels promoted. You might see somebody come back from Triple H's past. You might see some legends that are not even working in WWE right now that might be aboard the company. You're going to see that. But as far as Kevin Dunn, if he's let go, they're only going to let him go when they feel that they have somebody in place that can, you know, pick up where Kevin Dunn left off and not rock the boat. Hamea Saito, welcome to the family. Dream Vince McMahon will never be all elite. Just like Shane McMahon was never going to be all elite. Just like, you know, Triple H. Don't you love, I was guilty of this 15 years ago. But don't you love the people out there that they think they're cursing at WWE when they put the real person's name on the All Elite banner? They don't write Triple H is All Elite because that's a WWE character's name. They'll write Paul Levesque. When it comes to Sasha Banks, they can't write Sasha Banks is All Elite. You see people online now, they refuse to call her Sasha. She's not Sasha. She's Mercedes Fernando. I could guarantee you, I could guarantee you, unless a wrestler, male or female, despises WWE that they don't want anybody to mention them by name, they get pissed off and are insulted when you don't call them their wrestling name. Trust me, I worked the indies, yes, for a short period of time. But when you walked up to people, you didn't say, hey, so-and-so, nice to meet you. No, you would call them, you know, Diamond Dallas Page. You think people walked up to him and, you know, called whatever his name is? You know, use people's real names. Look, Sean Waltman used his real name after a while. Kevin Nash used his name. Scott Hall used his name. But when you went to an autograph signing, it was working still for WWE. You didn't walk up to him and say, hey, Scott, nice to meet you. No, you say, hey, Razor, what's going on? Undertaker. You think Undertaker wants random fans to say, hey, Mark, how you doing? No, you call him fucking Undertaker. These wrestlers don't want to be called by their real names unless they tell you. But these people online think they're making a statement when they put Mercedes, Bernardo, Paul Levesque. You got to use the real names. Of course, if you use Vince McMahon, you got to use his real name. But, you know, I laugh at the people out there that refuse to call people by the names that made the... He's not Daniel Bryan anymore. He's Bryan Danielson, goddammit. Don't call him Dean Ambrose. Now, I don't think John Moxley wants to be called Dean Ambrose. But the point is, don't start using people's real names thinking that you're making a powerful statement by doing that. Stupid. All right. Lascelles Williams, Prince Nana, made his con Ring of Honor debut last night. Brother, you got to share your Prince Nana credit card story again. Okay. I hope Prince Nana doesn't get mad for me to tell this story. I've told it once or twice before over the years. For some of you that are big Ring of Honor fans, AEW fans, Prince Nana made his Ring of Honor debut yesterday, the Tony Khan Ring of Honor era. Prince Nana is a major player in Ring of Honor's history with the embassy. Prince Nana is, I don't want to blow up his spot because he's not the nicest person on TV. One of the nicest people I ever met in wrestling. Prince Nana is good people. And I'll tell you a funny story. About 15 years ago, I actually was doing a little work with Prince Nana. Prince Nana worked in finance. Did a good job. Might still do it now. I don't know. He hooked me up in my office with a credit card machine. I always wanted to be able to take credit card payments in my insurance office. Prince Nana had worked for a banking company, and they supplied credit card machines. And he said, you know, I could get you the credit card machine. So he hooks me up, and we set it up, and everything is good. And now I'm taking credit card payments in my office. Long story short, my bank account went in a negative. And I said, that can't be. Because my bank account, it's very easy. I have a premium account for my insurance office. I deposit people's payments, and then I pay it out. If someone's paying a $300 insurance bill, and they give me a credit card, I get the $300, and then I pay it out to the companies. So my bank account went in negative. I couldn't understand why. I find out that the reason why my bank account went in the negative is because the credit card company wasn't funding me the credit card payments. There was some mistake in the system, and I wasn't getting paid. Now, in the insurance world in New York, if you bounce a check, you get fined big time. So I can't blame it on the credit card company. And I got into a situation where I could have been fined thousands of dollars because of it. So I ended up putting my own money into my bank account to cover the bounced checks. So when I talked to Nana, and I said to him, I'm like, what's going on? And I don't remember what his answer he gave me, but it was the wrong answer. And I put him on speakerphone, and I said, Nana, I said, I got you on speaker. And he's like, why do you got me on speaker? You don't have anybody in the office right now. Because, you know, he knew that there was no one else in my office. Because I want you to hear something. I picked up the credit card machine and I threw it against the wall. Put a hole in my wall. All you heard was pieces of credit card machine flying all through my office. I said, oh, will you look at that? I accidentally dropped your credit card machine. I broke it in a trillion pieces. And my banking relationship with Prince Nana came to an end. True story. It wasn't his fault. I felt awful afterwards. I should have paid like $1,000 for the broken machine, but he was nice enough to take care of that for me. But I broke the fucking machine in 1,000 pieces. I put him on speakerphone, so I had hands free, and I just smashed it. So I put a hole in my wall because of it. And that is my Prince Nana credit card story. I hope that's the one you were talking about, Liz Ellis. So, all right, Ronald Ciullo, when am I going to post an address so some of us could send me a wedding gift? I'm going to be honest with you, Ronnie. I wrote in the comment section earlier. I was going to prepare everybody. I didn't want to put an address up. I appreciate every single one of you who have DM'd me, emailed me, posted in the watch party, posted here. Like, you want to send me something for my wedding. I really don't want anyone to put themselves out there like that. But if anybody truly, like, is going to get pissed, because what I don't want everybody to do is start super chatting shit here. You know, there's a big difference, you know, between super chat and sending something. And you know, I'll probably put up a P.O. box address tomorrow. But that's the reason why I haven't posted it, because I appreciate the gesture, but you know, that's not why I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing the shows, enjoy the shows, and that's it. But if anyone out there really insists, not going to say no, but I'll post it tomorrow. So, all right. Thank you for that, Ronnie. All right. We're at an hour and 17 minutes. Let me take this off the screen. Let's go back to the chat. Let's answer some more questions and let's get out of here. Rams fan, I will definitely accept some Blue Chew if you send it. You know, you all know the pill story and my mailbox. I don't know if you all know about this story. One of the weirdest gifts I ever got from somebody out there, and I do have the card somewhere. True story. About 15 years ago, I go home from work, go home for lunch or something. I check my mailbox. And there's an envelope addressed to me, and there's no return address. And it's bulgy a little bit. You know, like there's something inside. You ever, any of you out there, you ever get advertisement for pens? Pens. And you, especially if you're in like a business, and it's a pen company trying to use your, you know, use their service, and they'll send you like one or two complimentary pens for free. I keep the pens and I throw the ads out. I don't ever order from them. But they'll send you an envelope and there's a bulge in it. You open it up and it's pen inside. I get an envelope mailed to my house. No one has my home address other than some people in wrestling. So I'm like, who sent me this? I open the envelope. And inside the envelope were drugs. And it said, Merry Christmas, Anthony. I don't think I was even using the Don Tony name yet. Somebody sent me OxyContin, Xanax, and I don't even remember. They sent me like 9 pills through the mail. There was blue, it looked like a Christmas tree. It was blue pills, yellow pills, white long pills. I actually went on Google and I typed in the numbers that were on the pills to see what they were. I didn't know what they were. I flushed them down the toilet. As tempting as like, hey, I never tried this before. I wonder what it'll be like. I was like, are you fucking crazy? I flushed it. To this day, I have no idea who sent it. No idea. Somebody sent me drugs. Good drugs, too. Good drugs. No idea. Run DMG. Opinion on Jericho, blade job, and breaking his own nose on Dynamite. Breaking his nose being broken. It wasn't, you know, a freak accident. Shit happens. I mean, you know, anything can happen. You work in wrestling, accidents happen. The blade job, that's not his fault. It is the camera work of AEW. The camera work of AEW, whoever is in the back doing what they're doing, they should have the wherewithal to know that if Jericho is going to start blading, You should be able to spot it in a second. And what you're supposed to do is, the production person, is go to another camera. And what Eddie Kingston's fucking job to do is to do something in the ring where everybody focuses on Eddie Kingston. Whether he climbs the top rope, picks up a barbed wire, does something, pull his pants down, show his ass. He's got to do something to get all eyes on Eddie Kingston while Chris Jericho does what he needs to do. And instead, the fucking cameraman just stays focused on Chris Jericho. We're in high definition television era. You might have been able to still get away with that in the 90s or the mid 2000s, but there's always going to be someone who is going to have 4K or high definition TV and zoom in enough where you could see Jericho doing what he's doing. That's not Jericho's fault. That is production for not turning to a different camera. When wrestlers bleed, you know, you got to cover it up. You know, a lot of times wrestlers will go outside the ring. They'll fall on the floor. Sometimes they'll stick their head underneath the side of the ring apron, and they'll do what they got to do. Sometimes they'll go on the floor. Look, I had to do it. Kevin Matthews. You saw Kevin Matthews recently in the corner of America's Top Team. Like 3 weeks ago, Kevin Matthews was on Dynamite. Back in 2005, I think it was, Kevin Matthews cracked a chair over my head while I was handcuffed to a guardrail. And I had the blade. And I was supposed to go on the floor, and with my head laying down, I was supposed to do what I got to do. The infamous video I showed you of Lowlife Louie, after he got the fireball in his face from Balls Mahoney, God rest his soul, I got on the mic and I did the Super Bowl thing. I said, Louie, you just lost. You got your ass kicked, and you got a fireball in your face. What are you going to do next? You know, like when you win the Super Bowl, somebody says, I'm going to Disney World. I did that spoof, and Louie cracked a chair over my head. And I fell on the floor, and I was supposed to bleed. And if you look, you see my hand over my head. The only reason why I didn't is because I broke my Rolex. I broke my fucking watch. You actually hear the watch go crack. And I was focused on, oh, fuck, my watch is broken. Everybody's laughing at me, and I didn't do it. I pussied out. I didn't do it. You go look. You'll see. You'll see something in my hand, but you'll see, like, I have my hand, and I was just like, oh, fuck, my watch broke, and I didn't do it. But the whole thing is, someone has to distract the away from the person who's doing it. And AEW production did not. That is not Jericho's fault at all. Ranch fans like, I just got married. What am I going to do? Open the forbidden door? The forbidden door will not be open. I told you all, you know, everybody thinks the forbidden door is Tony Khan. The forbidden door is not Tony Khan. The forbidden door is my fiance's ass. That forbidden door is not going to be open. She's not Greek, so that will not be happening. Forbidden door was COVID, everybody. Forbidden door was COVID. Tony Khan, very cool of him to be willing to work with other promotions because he knew he was the one who was going to benefit by it. Tony Khan is very, very smart for doing that. I praise Tony Khan for it. But if there was no COVID, we would not have seen remotely what we saw. Tony Khan didn't need Impact Wrestling. Tony Khan didn't need some of these other promotions. They just happened to have some people that he wanted. And that's why Forbidden Door happened. All right. Let's start bringing this home. People like when I joke. SoFly, okay, here's where we go off the rails a little bit. Did I ever have sex in a pool or in any water? Without sounding disgusting and making a visual that people didn't want to see, it's bad enough that I showed you my tits Wednesday night. Thank God YouTube didn't make that like NC-17 or anything like that, showing my chest. People I didn't tune in, you don't want to see it. I was in a jacuzzi once. I don't like it. I don't know. I just felt like it was in a bowl of soup. I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't know. Just didn't like it. CJ Rocks, could it ever be possible to get a sit down with Mr. and Mrs.? Well, you saw her New Year's Eve two years in a row. She's a wrestling fan. That's I got very lucky there, and she allows me to do this and spend time with all of you. She's not going to go heel, and she's not going to... We had this conversation. I said, honey, you know, this is my escape, hanging out with everybody, doing the shows. And yes, you know, I make some money off of it. It's paying my weddings, help pay some bills too. You know, you don't do this stuff for free anymore. I mean, especially after 25 years, I'd be a schmuck to do that. Be an idiot. But I said to her, I said, you know, you're going to force me to like stop these later on? And she's like, well, you know, I definitely would like, you know, if you did it like different times sometimes or it is, but she said, I'd never stop you. That's all I needed to hear. So, but no, I mean, nothing's really going to change. As long as you keep tuning in, I keep banging these out. Rocky Red is asking, would it be realistic and feasible for Tony Khan to buy WWE shares, owning stock, while owning AEW Ring of Honor? He could if he wants. He ain't doing that. He's not doing that. It would be fucking funny, though. If Tony Khan bought, I don't know, 10,000 shares, just say, 10,000 shares at $60 a clip would be what, $6 million? Well, six shares would be 60,000. 60 shares, yeah, $6 million, I think. No, that might be $60 million. Whatever it is. Let's say he buys 10,000 shares. Everybody that despises WWE would say to him, what are you fucking stupid? What are you stupid? You're giving them money. You just gave them all that money for them to reinvest. You think... when people buy shares, they're like, oh, thank you. And it just stays in a bank and accumulates wealth? No. You invest in a company, and that company reinvests into other things. Tony Khan would be ripped alive by his audience. Even if he said, just for a fucking drunk goof. You know, sometimes you drunk shop on eBay, and then the next day, the fuck, I bought a used car. I bought my wife this. I bought my husband this. What the fuck did I do? I bought this dress. Doesn't even fit me. Like, you have a drunk shop? Especially on eBay? That's not fun. I did that many years ago. I have my eBay account since 2001. I bought shit like a little bit like late at night, no sleep or having a couple of cocktails. And the next day, I'm getting alerts. Pay now. And I'm like, pay what? So Tony Khan did it. Even as a joke, he would be ripped alive. Tony Khan will not buy WWE stock. Will not. There ain't no way. Could The Rock buy some shares, Stephen? Sure, The Rock could. The Rock could. Why not? You know, if he thinks it's going to make money and he thinks that it could help WWE, you know, that's why you invest. Some people invest simply to just make money off of it. You know, I invest a very small amount of money in the stock market, and the stock market right now is horrendous with the economy. But I don't invest in the stocks because, oh, I love Moderna. You know, no, I think that they'll make money. So people don't invest simply because they care about a product. They invest because they want to make money. And if they believe that a company could grow with their investment, then they will do that. TJ Nasty, do I think Rock versus Roman is still going to happen? Yeah, it should. I think Roman Reigns loses the championships before WrestleMania. Why does Roman Reigns have to have a heavyweight title to fight The Rock? If you have those heavyweight titles on other people like Drew McIntyre or Cody or someone else, now you have three matches that are very, very powerful. If The Rock has both titles, which kind of feels like that's going to have to be the way to go, if he has both titles and he takes on The Rock, whether The Rock wins or loses, that means two other matches are not going for those championships, and those matches are greatly diminished in value. But if The Rock and Roman Reigns face each other and there's no titles on the line, that match is still a marquee big, huge match, major storyline. That match does not need titles. Now, how do you split the titles? I thought about this long and hard. The only thing that I could think of is, I'm just using one scenario, Drew McIntyre. I feel like Drew McIntyre has to win at Clash at the Castle. But I also fear that Drew McIntyre could end up winning both championships. He holds them both high in the air. Then I could see something stupid where Drew cuts a promo on SmackDown or Raw the next night or the following week and says, I'm a fighting champion. I don't want just two titles. I want to be a fighting champion on both brands. Raw, come get some. SmackDown, come get. I sound like Miro now, my Miro impersonation. I think Drew McIntyre will be, his character will be stupid enough to say, I'm a fighting champion. I will fight on both brands. I will defend the Universal Championship on SmackDown. I will defend the WWE Championship on Raw. And I think that's how you split the titles. I think Drew McIntyre will be so giving that he ends up losing one. I think that's what's going to happen. I could be wrong. Maybe Brock surprises us all. But that's what I think could happen. I could picture the Drew McIntyre character saying that. I'm a fighting champion. I want to fight on both brands. Raw, the fighting champion. I could see that. That's why, you remember everybody said that WWE was going to replace the belts with one? They're like, oh, you know, the two titles and two brands is dead. That's it. They're never going back. I said since day one, I like the idea of having a new championship that represents both, but it looks better. Remember when somebody posted a picture of a unified tag team championship and they said this is the title that's being developed for the Usos? And we said all along, like, nah, the Usos got to come out with two belts. Coming out with two belts apiece looks better than just coming out with one belt apiece. That's why the red and blue belts never left. Because it just looks better to have. Why would you think FTR, if they show up on AAA, that they should only show up with the AAA belts? Or if they show up in Ring of Honor, they only show up with the... No, it looks cool to show up with six belts in their hands. Gruss is asking, could I see Cody Rhodes reviving the big gold belt? Like a WWE version of Starrcade? Nah. It's... Who is it really satisfying? I mean... You know, I could see WWE, if he becomes WWE champion, I could see in a gesture WWE giving him a replica of the original championship. Maybe something is a gesture for Dusty, but I disagree, and I'll tell you why. Because Dusty was the NWA champion. So you give him the big gold belt. What does that represent? Was Dusty really ever going for that title? No. So it would be a nice gesture, but what title do you actually give him, and why would you do that? They're going to give him a title that represents the brand. So it's a great idea, but who are you really appeasing by doing that? You know, a small old school group online? I don't think they would do that, so... Oh, Charlie finally explained the Seinfeld Tammy picture. Remember when Kramer, you know, thought, you know, like he was like a turkey or whatever, and like half his body was a turkey? I put Tammy's picture on there. Why did I do that? Because I said there's a phrase, stick a fork in her, she's done. So I used the turkey. Stick a fork in the turkey, it's done. It's cooked. That was a representation. When I thought of the turkey, I thought of Seinfeld. And I said, oh, that'd be pretty funny if people understand the Kramer reference to it. Just like a little Easter egg. That's all it was. All right. We're on a little bit of overtime, so we could go a little bit longer. My fan of Lacey Evans' promos on SmackDown. Yeah, I'm fine with it. She was getting a mild reaction after a while. And, you know, for her to use, look, I put my life on the line and this is how you treat me. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I laughed at people who said that they were going to do this months ago. I think we were the only source that said that they're going to wait till after the 4th of July. Because her military career should be celebrated. And when they do tribute to the troops, she will be a baby face, no matter what her character is on TV. She should be praised and commended for what she has done for our country. But as far as a character, she feels disrespected. I said a couple of weeks ago, they should have done with Lacey Evans now. They should have done that with Jackson Riker. That motherfucker would have gotten crucified by WWE fans. Shit. They could have done it with Jackson Riker and Lacey Evans. And both of them could have done. Jackson Riker would have been eaten alive. If he would have came out and cut a promo, I fight for my country so we could have free speech and I give my free speech after I fight for our freedoms and this is how you treat me, go to hell. People would be like, they would want to fucking, I don't think people understand the nuclear heat Jackson Riker would have gotten. I can't believe that he's not doing that on the indie circuit. I know a lot of places don't want to book Jackson Riker, and I disagree with some of his views. I disagree with some of what he said about abortion and other stuff. You have a right to your opinion, but when you belittle other people's opinions, you know, I think that's where they get it wrong. But that guy should be on the indie circuit right now doing that. The problem is, with the indie circuit, you don't have security like WWE goes. That motherfucker will be tackled. That motherfucker will be thrown. Objects will be thrown at him. I think he probably would legitimately be scared for his life. And you don't want to put anybody in that position. But I could just picture some drunk whack job going, oh, my God. But in WWE, he would have been killed. Not physically, but his character would have been killed online. Oh, the heat. Jackson Riker, if they would have done it. Oh, man, you could only imagine what WWE. But, you know, they didn't. Is Diesel versus Mabel the worst SummerSlam main event of all time, Michael Gonzalez? It is one of the ones. I mean, I don't have every SummerSlam main event in front of me, but that is up there. You know, it was very strange at that time to see Mabel pushed the way he was. I mean, look, if he wasn't that big, he would have never been pushed like that. But it was a little bit strange at the time. It wasn't... I don't know. It just wasn't a good fit. I mean, it really wasn't his fault, but yeah, that was not very good. All right. A couple of more questions and we'll call it for tonight. Let's see. All right. So we're up to date with Super Chats and I thank you all for that. Let's answer a couple of more questions in the chat. Stephen Cormier, am I still doing sit downs? Forbidden Doors with other podcasters. He says, wouldn't it be cool to do one with JD from New York? All right. I can't get into specifics. But I will say this. I believe before the end of the year, JD and myself will do an episode together. I do believe that. I can't explain all the details why, but it's definitely something I could see happening. Now, I want to make this clear. He doesn't know that I'm saying this, and it might be a little surprise for him, but I truly believe before the end of the year, we will do something. And it'll be a nice, friendly debate on a few topics. I mean, obviously, we disagree on a lot of topics and it would be fun. But you know, one thing is for certain, I think some people out there think that it'll go off the rails and it'll be like, what are you fucking stupid? What are you moron? How the fuck could you say that? What the fuck is wrong? No, it's not gonna be anything like that. It might get a little intense at times, but the idea is just having good discussion. You know, not everybody needs to agree with me, not everybody needs to agree with him. As far as the Killer Cross stuff, I don't know what's going to happen there. You know, I have not talked to Kevin about it. There's not been any, you know, nothing's been brought up to me like, hey, man, when are we doing this? You know, I don't know how the setup would have been with video because the thing is, you know, a couple of months ago, you know, someone had showed me that Kevin was going to be doing, making a video appearance on some show. And I was like, oh, cool. I was like, so, you know, that would be a great thing if, you know, if he, myself, for one night, you know, had a DTKC show episode, bring Killer Cross on, have a three-way convo. But as far as I know, that appearance, the video appearance by him, never happened. And I don't know, you know, what would happen there. And I don't want to cause any disarray. So I'm still definitely looking to do it. And I plan on having Killer Cross on regardless. But no, it's still open for him. The thing you have to understand also is the man works his ass off in the music world. No exaggeration. The guy works overtime. And now, you know, me doing all these shows and planning for a wedding and having two ill parents and doing an insurance office, it's, you know, the timing is a little bit off, but it could still happen. I plan on having Killer Cross on no matter what. I would rather go and do that DTKC because a lot of people want it. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I will tell you this, there's no update, but it's not because there's any issues. So, will Jeff Jarrett give out any Qatar shots SummerSlam weekend? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Jeff Jarrett is going to get laid out. And I think Sami Zayn is going to show up with a referee shirt. And maybe Sami Zayn Friday gets himself on the show. Maybe Sami Zayn convinces Adam Pearce, look, Jeff Jarrett cannot handle both of these tag teams. Let me be outside enforcer or something like that. I think Jeff Jarrett, no matter what, I think there's going to be some type of a referee bump. Not saying Sami Zayn would be the ref, too, because think about it. Why would Sami Zayn count to three for the Usos? So I'm not saying that Sami Zayn necessarily will be a referee, but I believe something will happen. And I know I'm giving my predictions a little bit early, but as I feel right now, I think the Street Profits are going to win those titles. And I think that something will happen to Jeff Jarrett, whether it's Sami Zayn's fault or something else, and Sami Zayn is going to cost the Usos those titles. Rams fan, I absolutely do watch Vince Russo's work. I don't see all of it because it's just not enough time in the week. I tune into Conan, everything that he does there with Disco and Bill Bahati. I know Bill Bahati is very disliked online, and I understand why. I'm not disagreeing with those people, but you know, I do tune into all of these shows. I like hearing other people's opinions. And but Vince Russo, I enjoy. I'm still a Patreon member of his. I'm a Patreon member. I think I'm a Patreon member of Conan's. I think so. Maybe I stopped it. I don't know. But I'm a Patreon for Fightful. I'm a Patreon. And if you notice, even though I'm a Patreon for Fightful, I don't take their news and break it on my shows. You know, if they don't make it public, then I don't either. But I like their shows. I like their shows. All right. We're at an hour and 43 minutes. We'll go exactly 2 hours and get out of here. So we have 15 minutes left. So, especially since tomorrow. Oh, here's the schedule this week. Just a reminder. Tomorrow, we'll do a Raw recap. And because we talked about so much shit this weekend, unless anything, I mean, look, tomorrow's a big show at Madison Square Garden. We'll cover it. That'll probably be the majority of the whole episode tomorrow. We really don't have a lot of other topics to get into. So tomorrow you have your Raw recap. Wednesday will be Wednesday Night Dynamite. We'll talk more about the Ring of Honor stuff and everything else. Thursday, I'm going to be airing another Q&A mailbag. So there is a thread right now in the community section. If you want to submit a question you want me to answer, I will record it in advance and I will stream it Thursday like we did last 2 weeks ago. That'll be Thursday. And then Saturday morning, we're going to bring the Don Tony Show back Saturday morning at 11 a.m., 11:05, and I think that time is going to stick. Saturday will be SummerSlam preview, news, some quick predictions, and then Saturday night we'll be back again with the SummerSlam recap. So that's the schedule for this week. And you got sit down next Sunday. So just start making a note. The week of September 10th, from the 10th to the 18th, No shows. I will be leaving New York September 10th, and I will be, that's a Saturday, and I will be coming back Sunday, September 18th. I don't believe I'll be able to do a show that night. It's possible. I will let everybody know, but the 19th, for sure, I will be back in the saddle. Twix is asking my thoughts on Paige Van Zandt saying she has a porn video of her. I believe it when I see it. Wouldn't surprise me. She has an OnlyFans. She makes some good money off it. I'm wondering what the hell happened with her with AEW. She had that one match. She actually did decent, and that was pretty much it. Soulfly says, let him host the shows. I got news. I think everybody would be cool for a week off. But I will tell you this. I got a laptop during Prime Day, and I got it for like $300. And it's got a good webcam in it. I do have an Elgato brand new one that I never connected. So I might one or two nights during that week, I might just stream from my hotel room just to have some just chill conversation. No monetize, nothing like that. Just talking about whatever. So you might get one or two quick little, you know, podcasts that night, but it'll just be just regular chat. All right. Cute is asking me, how much should I pay generally for renter or content insurance for one bedroom apartment in a city? Well, very quickly, renting out an apartment, your price is based on how much you insure your contents for and liability. Liability is in case anybody falls or gets hurt in your place, and if you cause any damage to the residence itself. If you got like $40,000 in contents coverage and got like $300,000 liability and $100,000 fire liability, which means if you cause damage to the house, you should pay about $250 a year, $300 a year. Remember, you're only insuring your furniture, your belongings. You're not insuring the building. So it doesn't matter if you live in the city or if you live in Brooklyn or you live in the Bronx or Queens. Price should be pretty much the same. Will Tessa Blanchard be at SummerSlam? No. Nope. Did the Young Bucks drop the tag titles so they don't have to job to FTR? No. It was the right moment. It was cool for Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee to win those championships. All I know is that we'll now be at 2 weeks without defending the title. When do they defend the title next, and who are they going to defend the title? I don't want to see them defend it against Aaron Solo and QT Marshall. You know, don't milk weeks with that. I want to see, like, they issued the challenge to anybody in the back Wednesday, and instead we got a pie to the face to a fucking lawyer character. Let's see what happens this week. I'm not going to crap on it. AEW surprised me by putting the tag belts on them, and I'm happy. But I don't think that was taken off of the Young Bucks for that reason. No. Do I see Bray Wyatt coming back since Vince is out, Devin? Bray Wyatt loves Vince McMahon. Bray Wyatt, if he's going to come back, he's going to come back whether Vince is there or not. See, listen, everybody. This is not sausage. When I say sausage, you know why I say it. But I'm just saying this as a fact. A lot of wrestlers that love Vince McMahon like a father figure. I know what you're going to say. How could anybody love him as a father figure? Go ask that question to Undertaker. Go ask it to Brock. Go ask it to Bray Wyatt. Go ask it to others. I don't think you would dare ask that. Neither would I. But what people need to really understand is, Vince McMahon is not a god. Vince McMahon is mortal. Vince McMahon is almost 80 years old. He's going to be 77 years old. All these wrestlers know that Vince McMahon's days as the CEO, head honcho, calling all the shots in WWE was coming to an end. Investigation or no investigation? Yes, the investigations to eliminate that dark cloud and give Vince the chance to walk out into the sunset, like I said on Friday, That's why they gave him, look, we talked about it weeks that WWE was going to give him that chance. They owed it to him, whether you like it or not, and he took it. It's not easy to do. But these wrestlers know that Vince's days are numbered. He's an old man. He's older than Flair. He's older than others. He did a lot of roids over the years. His body might look spectacular, but inside you don't know. Father Time could catch up to him tomorrow. I mean, I don't want to say anything like that because it's creepy, because I used to say you could slip, break your hip, and die from it. And look what happened to Scott Hall. Look what happened to Ivana Trump and others. You could fall and you drop dead from it. So these wrestlers know Vince's days were numbered. That's why the Brock stuff was so stupid. It was so stupid. Vince still owns 51% of the company. His daughter's in charge. His son-in-law's in charge. And Brock, just think about that. If he's gone, I'm gone too. Does that even make sense? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. They talk. They're on speed dial. They text message. You think Vince is going to say, yeah, I walked out, you leave with me. We're going to form our own company. And these are people with conspiracy theories online. They're trying to make real life into a major storyline where it's not, in some case. That's why they got it wrong. So, no, if Bray Wyatt's going to come back, he's going to come back no matter what. No matter what. And I do believe he will come back. It's time. It's almost time for Bray Wyatt to come back. Bray Wyatt will be back. Whether Vince was still there or not, Bray Wyatt will be back. Remember that. Theme parks, the 10 spot. He doesn't know who threw the pie in Kevin Owens' face. I think some answers with Kevin Owens will be answered. Kevin Owens, you know, was out a little bit because of injury. It was actually good because they were in Texas recently, and it would have looked stupid for Kevin Owens to show up and perform in Texas. But Kevin Owens will be back. And I'm looking forward to it. It's more like I say, when you really look at both brands, they have a lot of people on there that we enjoy. The Ezekiel stuff with Kevin Owens ran its course. Cody, unfortunately, is injured. Where Seth Rollins goes beyond Riddle, I don't know. People say that Randy Orton is not coming back till next year. I disagree. I've always disagreed. I think Randy Orton will be back sooner than people realize. Then you got John Cena, you know, who's going to ultimately go with Theory at WrestleMania, more than likely, unless Theory stock goes tremendously high or low. Then you got Rock working a program with Roman, and you still got Brock there, and you got Drew, and you just go down the list. My God, they got a lot of good ingredients there. And we didn't even talk about the women's side of it. So it's, you know, it might be a problem. Because there are quite a few names that you want to see go back to the mountaintop, and not everybody could do that at the same time, you know? And let's hope that Big E could return in 2023. Let's hope, you know? I mean, right now it is so up in the air. You know, that's something you got to think about. It's very, very serious. So, all right. We got about 4.5 minutes back. Devin is saying, how do you bring in MJF? I think he just shows up unannounced, causes some major decision in a match. I don't know if it's a title change or what. He's got to show up. Maybe he's got a mask on. Maybe he doesn't. I would not want the lights to go out, everyone. Oh, Tony Khan, I don't know if you tune into my stuff. If you do, or anybody behind the scenes, I know some people behind the scenes do, but if anybody hears this, please, whatever you do, unless Tony Khan is going to be an on-air character, turn heel, and be alongside MJF, you do not turn those lights off for an MJF return. Because then that means someone in the back knows that he's returning, and shuts the lights off and turns it on. And we don't want a who drove the Hummer thing again. Who turned the lights off? You don't want it to seem in any way, shape, or form that his return was planned. If he's in the crowd, maybe he has the paper bag over his head. Everybody thinks it's Kip Sabian. The problem with a paper bag is that it flies off. So he could show up, cause someone to lose a championship, then he reveals that it's MJF. That's what I would do. But do not turn those fucking lights off. And if MJF is not coming back, it makes Tony Khan look like a pussy for the last couple of months. That he did not have the balls to stand up for his company, stand up for himself, send a message to that roster. You do not do what MJF did. What MJF did, spat in the face of our entire roster, spat in the face of me, spat in the face of everybody who gave him an opportunity. The fact that that guy did not stand on his own 2 feet, Tony Khan, and do that makes him look like a pussy. If MJF does not return, that's why I believe MJF will return. Because if MJF returns, then you understand why Tony Khan did not throw him under the bus. I personally think Tony Khan should have thrown him under the bus because MJF is a dick. MJF would have been able to handle it. MJF would have fed into the storyline better. If Tony Khan would have ripped the shit out of MJF and said what he did was fucking unprofessional, inexcusable, not, you know, nothing that we condone, and that spits in the face of every person who's trying to build this company, I think MJF would have loved every minute of it. Good. Mark, keep talking about me, Mark. They didn't do that. And any sense of fear in Tony Khan's eyes is not good for AEW. So maybe Tony Khan and MJF align. Keep that thought in the back of your head. Keep that thought in the back of your head. Because even if MJF returns, the fact that Tony Khan never stood up for his company and kept quiet makes him look like he's scared of MJF. How do you fix that? You have them in line. Look, I will always say this about Tony Khan. You want someone with that kind of money who is a lifelong wrestling fan. Because for that person, it's not all about just money. You know, in fact, a lot of it is not just about money. Otherwise, you would see some of the things we talked about. To have someone have that kind of coin and have that passion for wrestling in 2022, that it has to be praised. Yeah, it might be a little over the top at times, but not too many people in this world that have that kind of money that love pro wrestling as much as Tony Khan does. And that should always be appreciated or respected, even if you don't like AEW. All right. One more minute and we're out of here. Gruss is asking, will Tony Khan be an in-ring character? Yeah, I expect it. I've said this for a while. Even if he said early on, I'll never be an on-air character. Dixie Carter said that. I don't know if Eric Bischoff ever said it back in the day. Tony Khan, he will. He will. He's got to be. He's got to be. He tested it a few times here and there. That man, how he loves pro wrestling, you don't think that he would want to try to top Mr. McMahon? Tony Khan absolutely will be an on-air character. Absolutely will be an on-air character. That guy gets a mic and starts putting, oh my God. I'm not saying it's going to be good, but oh shit. If you want to bet on anything, Tony Khan will be an on-air character. Absolutely. Absolutely. SummerSlam will go at least 3, possibly 4 hours. It's a Saturday. It could go to midnight. Could go to midnight. No update on Jeff Hardy's rental car. Honestly, this whole week, I really didn't pursue it. I'm not going to lie. I didn't pursue it. Florida is not easy to deal with. I'm wondering if I could get it through North Carolina. Because now North Carolina is going to start going after Jeff Hardy. I know we didn't talk about that news that you're not going to read anywhere else. You could kind of like take this now. North Carolina is going to go hard on Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy thinks that he could just plead through the mail, you know, go through the motions, have his lawyer say he's in rehab, and then the courts could be like, oh yeah, no problem. North Carolina is going to go after Jeff Hardy. That you can report elsewhere. North Carolina is going after Jeff Hardy. I might be able to just go through that chain of command. Because remember, something you don't think about. Florida did not force or require Jeff Hardy to have that device in his car. North Carolina did. So now North Carolina has got, Jeff, you got some splaining to do. So I'd be more concerned about North Carolina than Florida. No one is telling you that. So, all right. Let's get out of here. We ended up going a full extra hour. I thought it was worth it. We had some great discussion today. Fabulous discussion. I love all the topics. I thank you for spending your Sunday evening. And if you're checking this out on the replay, I thank you for just hanging out, spending time, and enjoying what we do here. I take this very seriously. And I always feel that if you're going to invest time, money, anything with what I do, you best damn believe that I will never look at you in the eye and use you to get hits or views. You know, we say things that, you know, are not very popular, and we say things that many people out there are afraid to, for the simple reason that if they, you know, annoy someone, or, you know, if you don't hardcore support something and you feel that the people are not going to support you, you know, I don't do it for them. I do it for all of you. And I thank you for your support. Very much appreciated. So if you are going to be around Monday night, right after Raw, I will be here. Raw at Madison Square Garden. I'm not going to lie. I had the opportunity to go, but I just don't feel like traveling all the way to the city and then coming home after midnight, and I got to work the next day. So I will be watching from the house. So we will cover Raw tomorrow. Be prepared that a majority of tomorrow's show will be only Raw. If anything else comes out, or if we have to serve up some more sausage, we will. But it'll be mostly Raw. And then Wednesday, we have a usual Dynamite. And then don't forget, if you have a question you want me to answer with the mailbag, you could either post it in the community section, or you could email me, dontony@dontony.com. I will record that either Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning, and that'll be posted for everyone. And then Saturday in the morning, 11 a.m., we'll do a SummerSlam pre-show and a few other things as well, and then you got the recap. So everyone, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button on the way out. If you know anyone and you think would like this channel, let them know about it. And I'm out of here. So Don Tony wishing you good evening, everybody, and good day for those overseas. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took balls. It. If I ran wanted something, I just took it. I paid it. The bills. I paid ran the host. Everything. I even I paid the masked bills. Maniac.
I paid the host.
Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're going to like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.